Good morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Tobin and Leroy. We are live from Radio Row. Leroy is just sliding right on it. You just literally slid right under the velvet rope to get here for the radio show.
Quick question. Can I have a ride when my car gets towed?
Yeah, same here. same here.
Where did you guys park?
No. Never, ever, ever take advice from Robbie.
What?
Oh, the lady will let you in.
That's what happened to me. I don't know what you're talking about. She let me right in the park.
That didn't work for you?
No. So not only.
So where did you end up? I don't know. Are we cut off right now?
We're on.
No, we're on. We're being told that we're on.
We're on the air.
As far as we know, Steph. Steph is getting us all coordinated out here. We're just getting rolling here. So go ahead with your story, Leroy.
So I pull up.
Yeah, we're on live. It's all good, Steph. It's all good, man. He's got two stations to run. Like, give like, we're good.
Steph the specialist.
We're good. It's all good, man. Anyway, go ahead, Leroy. So what happened?
So I text Robbie. Well, first of all, thank God I left early.
Yeah.
Because I left my house how
early?
4:30.
Oh, wow. That is early for you.
And I came across got to the beach at 5. So rerouting.
Oh, yeah. All the road closures and, you know.
So
anyway, so I pull up to the lady. I'm like, cool. I remember where we came in last time. We are here.
Right.
Pull in. Bam.
Show the
flash the badge. Oh, no. Where's your parking pass? I'm like, yo. I said, look, I got a text. My man just said, oh, well, I wasn't here.
Oh.
I got to go check with. I said, well, you either going to let me in or not. I got to go find parking. So I don't have time for you. And I said, don't, you know, take no offense to this. I don't have time for you to go chase somebody down to ask them.
Right.
Right? It's only going to take a second.
Which it won't.
No. So then I drive around and I'm like, oh, no, where am I going to park? So I went.
You ended up parking in the Fillmore, right next to the Fillmore?
No, I parked on the street.
What?
Yes.
Did you get the app?
I got to do that.
Jesus.
So then I had to like write, put the stuff down in notes. So that's what I got to do.
Yeah, I was just like, what's the safest place to go into? And I saw the old Fillmore parking garage. I'm just like, boom. And
oh, really? It's right there too.
Yeah. See, but the only thing is they made us walk around the entire building. They wouldn't let us go into the initial entrance where we went and ended up getting our credentials.
I walked in right by the Fillmore.
Yeah, I ended up walking the one that was by the corner of it. But the first one, I was trying to go in where we got our credentials on Friday.
Oh, no, that's the fan zone or whatever, gift shop.
Yep.
Yeah, I drove right in. I showed my ID, and they said, oh, you may need to get a parking pass. So I go, well, I can't get a parking pass unless I can't go and get a parking pass unless I'm parked.
Chicken and the egg.
So they go in, and the dog sniffs the car, and they do the drive-through a car scanner,
of course,
and then up the garage, and then the elevator takes you right down here.
That dog ain't going to find nothing in your car unless it got bet tickets.
Okay, so obviously – yesterday, the sporting world was shook up.
Yeah, man.
It was surreal. It was just a really dark feeling in the pit of your stomach. I think most of us had yesterday because one of those things where it just doesn't seem real that you find out that Kobe Bryant was died in a helicopter accident. Especially with TMZ reporting it. And this is one of the things with TMZ.
That's where you're wondering, how real
people are
this?
Always hoping. They're like, man, I hope that they are wrong on this. But a lot of the times with this celebrity blotter stuff, they're not. You know, because I know that the LA Sheriffs, they came out and they were pissed at TMZ because they reported it before even the next of kin could find out. So it was it really was a wild, wild day and just tremendously sad because I don't know how you guys were experiencing the news. I was on the way to my my mother-in-law's birthday, so I was literally getting this in the my wife was driving, so I saw it on Twitter, and I'm like this that can't be right. And the thing with experiencing it on Twitter, you're getting all of the stuff that's getting reported.
You're just getting all
and
news
rumors. So it went from like, you know, Kobe Bryant was killed in a helicopter accident to all of his kids were on the plane.
Right.
Rick Fox was on the helicopter.
Right.
So it was really shoddy. It was a bad place to hear where all this stuff was going down because you're just scrambling. You don't know what the truth is and what's not right. And what's not true. People are, you know, hoping it's BS, and then you know eventually you know ESPN confirms it. Woj comes out with a tweet, and that's when I think everybody was like, well, he's not putting his name to it if it's not real.
Right.
But it just doesn't seem real, man.
Like, it doesn't, and that's probably how, you know, these things work because, you know, when you hear something like that, you know, the first thing you think of is, wow, I got a daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I have a family and you know, and then you start thinking about the good things, you know, because I can remember when, you know, we all know where we were when we lost somebody that was close to us. And what I try to do is just remember the good things of that person's life that affected you. And so when you think about him, you know, and what he's been through to where he is now, you know, even before this, people are coming out saying he was beloved now. But you know what? After he got done with basketball, it's almost like that process had started.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to a point now where, you know, it sucks that you didn't get to enjoy the non-basketball.
Yeah. Like he's just being a good dad.
He was just being a dad. He was just, you know, doing other things outside of basketball. He kind of had more of a voice on issues, whether funny or whatever. So he was a good follow on Twitter. He could then comment on the basketball that he was seeing now, which is always cool because it wasn't like he never made comments on basketball like, get off my lawn like the older guys. I mean, he was excited about, whoa,
he was more
look
that
at
when,
all the scores.
Yeah, he was more that when he played. And then,
right.
And then when he left, he was just such an ambassador to all these guys who were competing against him. But then,
right.
Looked so much up to him. Robbie will get you caught up on a lot of the angles with this stuff. Let's hit the ID and get to headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, tough day yesterday, and you know a lot of NBA games. There was a lot of games, and just about all of them did some sort of tribute to Kobe, one way or another. Whether it was a taking a shot clock violation,
yeah,
a 24-second or an 8-second backcourt violation.
It was tough to watch those guys play. I get it. It was just right before some of these games were tipping off, but
right.
I almost wish that you know the ones that they could have that they would have just canceled it. Because it was just guys here, breaking down on the court. It just seemed like people weren't together here, to do it.
But sometimes the best way to acknowledge or to show your appreciation for a guy that was in your profession is by going to work and doing your job and having that arena filled with people so you can show all of them.
Yeah.
How much you appreciated him. So I thought one of the things was really cool was MSG. They changed their colors to purple and gold.
Right.
And it was just a cool thing.
Hard Rock Hotel did that too.
I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, just the heartfelt, you know, sympathy for everybody involved, for the family, and the thing that came across, you know, I tell you guys this all the time, like, you know, football is football, sports is sports, you know what I mean? Don't get caught up so much into sports that you fail to understand the human side of athletes, you know, because they still live in the same world you live in. They still have the same, you know, conditions that you have, although you make it a little different with the money.
Yeah, I think that's what messed me up so much yesterday, man, was the idea that he was just being a basketball dad. And we had seen, I don't know if you had seen it, but this video of him and his daughter, before it was even circulating yesterday, this video of him on courtside with his daughter, you know, teaching her the game, and
right.
her having that Kobe look on her face, like, yeah.
Yeah,
and so that thing had been going.
Little mama in effect.
Yeah, and so that thing had been going around, I want to say, for a good 6 weeks, maybe
right.
not that much.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of just known her little face, and and how much she seemed to love the game, and she had her dad's mentality. So, yeah, man, that really just hung with me all day. And you know, I'm sure, like you said, like I was with my daughter all day yesterday, and just thinking about, I can't imagine life being that instant. I can't imagine it all ending like that with you just trying to do the thing you love with your kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, like, there are people experiencing this every day, you know, and we tend to forget, you know, tomorrow's not promised. A lot of things that you say you're going to do today, do them.
Right.
Because you don't know what could happen. And there's a perfect example, and my thought was, I hope that he was able to show his family, you know, and show his loved ones, or let his loved ones know how much he loved them and how much he cared for them and, you know, how much he supported them. And I think, you know, we all want the opportunity, you know, when we're done with life, which we don't know when that's going to be, to at least let the people know close to us that, you know, we love them and that, you know, we were always willing to do the right thing. And I think that's the most important thing that I took from this, is that, you know, they spend half their life watching the Mamba. You know, they spend most of their life watching the Mamba, the cutthroat dad.
Yeah.
You know, and now, you know, we all got to enjoy Kobe 82 times a year, plus the playoffs, championships, or whatever. And now it was almost like, okay, now his kids and his family get to enjoy him as much as we did. And it sucks that they didn't get as much of their dad as we did.
Anything else, Robbie, that you want to touch on with this?
Pat Riley released a statement. He said Kobe Bryant was a godsend to this world, not just to the NBA, but to all those who hold dear and cherish family, friends, and faith. Today, I mourn the tremendous loss of Kobe, his daughter Gianna, and the other passengers. The Lord will bless Vanessa, the entire Bryant family, and all those who lost their most precious loved ones today. Yeah, also, like, there was a junior college famous baseball coach who was also on that plane with his daughter and his wife, too, on that plane as well.
I mean, just and what if, you know, and what if that was, what if they had another kid? You know what I mean? Like, it sucks that it's so unfortunate, and I don't look at it from Kobe or the other people who died in the crash. I don't look at it from, the first thing that came to mind with me is, oh no, what about their family? Not about, oh, we lost a basketball player. Not, you know, I thought about it. Oh, you know, what about his wife who stuck with him through thick and thin?
Yep.
You know, she didn't get, you know, to have him to herself. What about his newborn? What about, you know, the other two daughters and the newborn? What about them? You know, well, never getting to see, you know, one of the things that when you think about one of the incredible things about, you know, and I'll tie this in with Tiger, is one of the things Tiger appreciated last year was his kids finally got an opportunity to see who their dad was. You know, and I think that, you know, my kids never saw me play football. The only time they know that I did anything is when people come up to me and say hi, and they're like, why are these people talking?
They don't know about the big shoulder pads.
They don't know about those big shoulder pads. And I think that, you know, over time, they got to know what I did. As far as Kobe, you know, his family was just getting ready to see who he was as a man, not as a basketball player, but as a man, and learn about what he did as a career.
And by the way, you mentioned Tiger. He didn't know. He was all playing. He was playing.
Yeah, the caddy didn't tell him until after he was done because they were friends.
Didn't they? And people were shouting, "Do it for Mamba!" From the crowd.
Yeah,
he didn't
know
what they were talking about.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, man. Like, it's hard. Like, that would be the hardest thing. We hear about these stories all the time. We hear about, you know, family members dying and the family saying, don't tell them until, you know, after the game or whatever. And
right.
I'm like, man, could you imagine being, you know, a loved one, or imagine being in that situation? Could you imagine being the other people on that plane and people releasing the names before – you know, they got to contact family.
Well, that's why the sheriff's department was so pissed at TMZ.
Right.
Because they released COVID.
Right.
Like, I think they, thankfully, I think everybody else was able to stay private, basically. But the two things that happened yesterday, news-wise, and it was, you know, it's a shoddy day when things are moving down that fast. And it's a real shame with that stuff. But it was, you know, the Kobe stuff got released first, obviously. And then ABC had reported the thing that it was all of his kids.
Right.
They reported all of his right. kids were on that
like,
plane.
And at first there was only four other people on the plane.
Right.
Then somebody said there was nine people.
Right.
Somebody said it was
Rick Fox.
Right.
So, that's one of those things where you're just like, man, just I know the world moves fast these days,
right.
but you just you want people to be as accurate
right.
as possible with that because you know it's going to be so highly publicized as it is.
The worst thing I saw, and here's why, you know, everybody – you know, gets on me because I'm, you know, I get on media members because they have no soul, right? I do believe that. I think they're more inclined to try to get the story or get the pop or get the reaction than they are about dealing with people.
Right.
And I saw on Twitter with Amari Stoudemire, right? I don't know if you guys
see that.
He just got done playing a basketball game, and a mic just went up to him and just
and
told
they asked him.
Right, like right there.
Oh.
And he just broke down. And I'm like, man, like where are we where we can't, you know, look, basketball's basketball, man, but life is life. And the rules of life aren't different from anybody. Everybody gets sick. Everybody has, you know, these tragic situations, and so for us to not sympathize with one another, and I can understand why the sheriff's department was, you know, so hey, there's a process we go about and we confirm these things because we don't want to put stuff out there like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So yeah, it's a tough day.
We'll continue on with this. We'll do 15 minutes of heat. You know, we're going to continue on with the Kobe stuff because there was a lot of heat angles as far as the reaction was concerned, especially Dwayne Wade. He, you know, had a great friendship with Dwayne Wade and I mean with Kobe, and obviously was very broken up about it. So we'll hear some of the words from D Wade, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, Udonis Haslam, and things like that as far as it's concerned with the life of Kobe Bryant, who tragically died yesterday. We're back after this. Hey everybody, it is Tobin and Leroy. We'll do a little 15 minutes of heat here. We're live from Radio Row.
Yeah, we are.
It's a not, you know, the scene out here. It's not too packed yet. You know, it's funny. Radio Row is not just radio anymore. It's more like Media Row
because yeah.
they have
right.
to set the scene for everybody. We're in like a little conglomerate of tables on the other side of this ballroom. There's a huge, even more amount of rows of tables and whatnot where people will be doing their radio shows. But there's not a lot of action right now because I think a lot of radio stations are probably not doing their East Coast shows in morning because there's nobody here. There's no guests here. I can tell you, like, we're gonna get people, but we'll be doing a lot of taping stuff. We'll be doing stuff that's, you know, well after the show, because they don't get up in the morning to come here. But, you
Correct.
Know, they got the CBS Sports Network, the Fox Radio, Sirius, Pro Football Talk. It's all seen, but there's not much action right now. So that's kind of the scene right here. But obviously, you know, look, today was thrown a huge curveball because of the tragedy that went down yesterday with Kobe Bryant. So for 15 minutes of heat, I wanted to bring some of what the heat ties were to this, as far as, you know, D Wade had a tremendous friendship with Kobe Bryant. And I mean, look, this is one of the funny things. As like a Heat fan, I could tell you I was always like the guy where, you know, Riley had the quote, I think it was this offseason, where he was like, you know, there was a time, you know, in the 3-4 stretch that I thought he was better than Kobe. And I think all of us Heat fans, we always looked at D Wade and we're like, yeah, like, you know, if he had Shaq in his prime for those, he'd rack up all those rings too. But it's kind of a weird debate to even have when you have D Wade, who's like out there, you know, always be telling you like, I looked up to Kobe. That was the guy I wanted to be. And so from that standpoint, what was going to be his reaction to this? Cause you know, he had the tweet immediately as all this was going down. It was like, you know, God, no. And, you know, he did some reflecting yesterday on Instagram, and Here was the great Heat guard reflecting on the life of Kobe Bryant.
Today is one of the saddest days in my lifetime. It seems like a bad dream. You just want to wake up from. It's a nightmare. I know we all feel the same way about such a great leader, such a great champion, a great person. If you got a chance to know Kobe, you got a chance to really know Kobe. Ain't nobody better, man. Emotions are all over the place. These are the moments when you ask why.
So that was D-Wade yesterday on his Instagram. You could just tell he's tremendously broken up about it, and understandably so. He's a guy who played on the 08 Olympic team with him, remember Ball D-Wade, where that was kind of Wade's coming back from the injury. Kobe was so clutch for Team USA on those and helping them, the redeem team, getting them back to gold and, you know, having all those guys there, you know, LeBron, Carmelo, Chris Bosh. And then even with him on Team USA the years after that with KD and all that stuff, like, he really just touched so many of this next generation that looked up to him. And I wanted to read this piece because I thought of this when when this was all going down yesterday and seeing D-Wade's post. But I remember this post. I couldn't remember who it was from, but it was Rachel Nichols who had a story from Kobe's retirement year. And so here's what she posted. This was from December 4th of 2015. And she said, way too long for 140 characters, but here's a Kobe story that Dwayne Wade told me. This was last month, the night before the Heat hosted the Lakers here in Miami. Wade decided to stop by the arena and get a soak in the cold tub. He goes to the Heat locker room and back to the training room. Who was already sitting in the tub? Kobe Bryant. Wade told me in the 13 years that he played for the Heat that he's never seen Pat Riley let an opposing player into the inner sanctum like that using the team facilities, and that, frankly, he was shocked. Of course, that's the respect that Kobe earned, and the two old friends had a great long talk at the end of it. Kobe asked if his sons were coming to the game the next night. Dwayne said no, as it was a school night, and Kobe says, you know what, bring them. I think it's going to be my last time here. Dwayne brought the boys. They got a lifetime memory after the game taking pictures with Kobe. And the Wade family got a little sneak preview of Kobe's retirement announcement before anybody else.
Cool.
Yeah. I saw Wade's son, Zaire, you know, putting up like Uncle Kobe, and there's a picture, you know, I don't know if it was a picture from that night, but just him as a young kid with that. And man, it's just it's one of those things. It's absolutely surreal. It's bananas. Thinking about this, it's such a hole in the sporting community, and I mean to know what happened to him and his family, just such a tragedy. And obviously, yeah, I know that there were a lot of other people on that plane, but this guy was an icon to Los Angeles. And you just think about like all the people that were going to Staples Center yesterday with the Grammys there. They're trying to tell people to stay away, and
yeah,
people are like, I mean, how, like, where else, you know, they're going there and putting up shrines and whatnot. It's nuts, man.
I think it's just one of those situations where we want to catch you off guard, and two, you know, the funny thing about sports is sports brings people together, whether it's to either hate the visiting team, cheer for your team, enjoy, you know, company, whatever it is, it brings people together. And this is one of those situations where, like, probably the first thing that came to mind was, oh, you know what? I'm going to pay homage in front of the Staples Center. Oh, okay. Grammys be damned. Like, we're sorry. Yeah. Like, this is what we do. This is what we've always done. You want to get people, you know, good or bad, collectively cheering or booing somebody.
Yeah.
Sports is a heck of a thing.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of when Jose died.
Yeah, I was thinking
when Jose Fernandez dies, and that was a crazy experience because I'll never forget that morning. As obviously none of us will, but I had Fighter's Fury that morning.
Yeah,
I had Fighter's Fury
right
that morning at the station, and we got the news right before the show went on the air, and so obviously I kind of scrapped all the fighting stuff, and we just talked about, you know, what was going and happening with Jose, but what that team went through, and they say it was a franchise changer. You know, like if you want to talk about like all the stuff that, you know, the Giancarlo Stans, the Christian Yelich, the D Gordons, all those guys, and you lose a guy like that who not only was an iconic pitcher for this city and a guy that the city really identified with, arguably one of the best pitchers in the league, and you just lose that in the blink of an eye. And how did his team, you know, you think about that first game because they canceled the game that day. I remember Rich Waltz doing an amazing job on the broadcast that day. And then you think about the next game when D. Gordon hit the home run, and you're just like, how do you explain stuff like that? He's, you know, he's D. Gordon. And I think he did it with Jose's bat too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he took he batted righty first. The first couple pitches right-handed.
Yeah.
And then switched over to the left side and hit a home run.
Yep. So it was it's great.
I remember it was a whirlwind for you to do Fighters Fury, then you had to do the morning show, and then I think for a week we you guys were out at Heat Media Day, the next day, the day after.
Yeah, and, I think you're right.
Yeah, and it was just weird. It was just a weird turn of events.
Yeah, I remember going to a game that day. I didn't go to the game afterwards. I watched that on television, but I remember going to a game pretty recently thereafter, and it was just odd. Like it felt like. It just felt like – it did feel like a normal sporting event. Like, there was no gimmicks going on between games. Like, they were just playing the games.
Right.
Just playing the games.
Right.
And the guys were just like, let's just get through this. And, yeah, the Marlins franchise has never been the same. But, you know, what else is crazy with the Kobe thing is just, like, he was just praising LeBron. Like, LeBron had just passed him the
just
night before.
Just passed him, and LeBron was, you know, basically paying homage to him and – you know, actually saying, you know, look, I'm different than Kobe. You know, Kobe's Kobe.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when you talk about Jordan. Like, yeah, you can look at the numbers or whatever, but watching them play, watching the mentality in which they played and the way they worked at their craft, that's a different level. Kobe wasn't, you know, like physically dominant like LeBron. But he played that way. He demanded, you know, it's almost like the scoring of James Harden with the attitude of Jimmy Butler, right? Like that demand on others, that demand on, or you remember the playoff game where he wouldn't shoot. He's like, okay, yeah, y'all want to be the guy? You want to be the guy? Here you go.
No, we saw. That's the thing with Kobe is Kobe had he had so many chapters of this career that was like, you know, the sidekick of Shaq, the breakup between them, you know, him kind of demanded, remember the trade demand of the Bulls that went down, then he gets Powell, kind of the redemption of getting those teams with Lamar Odom, and you know, remember Shaq got the ring before him down here. It's crazy about it, like, you know, there's, you know, the ties with the Heat are always going to be known because this was where Shaq ended up. And if that team never broke up, what would those guys have been if they were on the same page with each other?
Of course. I mean, that's one of the crazy things about it is that, like, you know, when you play a sport, let's keep – he played a sport for 20 years, right? And it's not like it's baseball. No, you're playing 82. And you want to talk about a guy who tracked a lot of miles – look at how many, you know, games he played because he went to playoffs almost every year.
Yep.
So you're talking about playoffs. You're talking about, you know, playing most of the games in every year. No load management. No, none of that. So everybody's going to be touched by a guy that's been in a sport for 20 years, but great for 20 years. You know, everybody's like, ooh, he scored 60. Like, we made fun of that 60. But,
yeah,
like,
but that's him. That's the way he should go out.
That's the way.
That's the way he should go out.
Wait. Name a Heat player who's going to go out like that.
I mean, if Deion ever got that chance.
Deion say, hey.
I do want to touch on, you know, Deion at some point in today's show because I was at Friday night's game and it was – The whole day of it, the whole day of it was. We'll take a break. Well, I'll tell you about it because it was the whole day of it with leading up to Deion playing.
Everybody was getting antsy.
Was pretty weird. We'll be back with more after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. We are live from Radio Row. Robbie's here.
Yep.
Very excited to have you here, Robbie. I made it a point. I'm like, listen, I'm not doing Radio Row without Robbie. Need it.
Right.
I need my man here. First of all, he's just a delight around people. Second of all, if you don't have two teams involved in the Super Bowl, Leroy, what is the most important thing about the Super Bowl?
The prop bets. Robbie's going to pull some prop bets out from the middle of nowhere.
Got a couple in there.
You already got a couple in there.
He's got the Puppy Bowl bet in there, and he's got Demi Lovato.
By the way, didn't you bet under on the
– I did bet the AFC, which was a winner, but I did also bet the under on the Pro Bowl, which was stupid in hindsight.
I didn't watch any Pro Bowl yesterday.
Me neither.
I know some people were furious with ESPN because they didn't –
They had it on two channels.
Discontinue the Pro Bowl.
They had it on two channels.
They had it on ABC and on
and
ESPN.
ESPN.
The coverage or the
no the game
oh
yeah.
That's what they were pissed off about.
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't near a TV for any of the Kobe stuff. This was all happening on my
phone.
Well,
basically, I mean, they did do it on ESPN too. So if you have regular ESPN, you got ESPN too. So what are you? You know, they went straight. Well, Kobe Sports Center.
I will say for ESPN, like, this is the thing with our world moving as fast the way it does. You know, people are like, get a graphic up, get this. It's like, well. No, like the way it's supposed to work is you got to get people in place. You got to know what's actually happening.
Right.
You can't just go on television and just say somebody passed away and then just kind of wing it. That's the problem.
I found myself doing this because I went to the ESPN app when, you know, I found out. And here's the problem. You hear something from another news source, but your news source hasn't
confirmed it or
started reporting it yet. So you get mad at your news source because you know your news source is going to be more detailed than the other news source. And that's how that gets that way. Like, hey, why isn't ESPN doing this? Why isn't it? Because they have a process that they have to go through also.
Like my best friend, he's a basketball nut, and he's crushed. He's crushed about Kobe. And, I'm sending him, like, he's like, you know, is it true? And I sent him TMZ and goes, I don't believe it. He goes, I won't believe it till
I won't believe it till
ESPN reports it. You don't want to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
The world and the sporting world especially is hurting today for sure. We were talking a little bit about the break because I told you guys going into break about I wanted to tell you a little bit about Friday night because. On the one piece of Heat news that happened over the weekend, it was Deion Waiters' season debut.
Oh yeah,
and
phony cry. Look,
you
I was
the guy was phony.
I'm not saying they were phony, but look, man.
Well,
let me
ask you something, Leroy.
Go.
Is this you sitting next to somebody like me every day who is a Heat fan?
Uh huh.
I almost had to take stock of myself. I'm like, man. Do I have the wrong idea about how mad people were at Deion Waiters? Because we do have people text in quite regularly, like, Deion's your second best player. You need to play him.
All the time.
I want to call it an ovation, but it was a rousing applause, Robbie, I think is the right description.
And how many back-to-backs have the Heat played where they're getting blown out on the second line of the back-to-back and we're like, hey, why isn't Deion playing?
Right. Yeah. And I got cold-taked hard because, you know, I put a lot of our stuff up on YouTube, and I have one that had a title that says, Deion Waiters is not playing for the Miami Heat ever again. Because I genuinely
that sounds like you.
I genuinely believe that, though, because and remember what I said, though. It's not that I think that it's his – it's not that I even think that that's the right decision. I'm just reading what I've gone through, and that is watching this team and seeing all the situations there's been this year for him to just get runs, whether it be in blowouts, whether it be through injuries, whether it be through guys struggling. I'm just like, yeah, Spo's not going to play him, and I think that's that. And – Friday happens, and you get the injury report, and you find out that Jimmy's on it, Kendrick Nunn's on it, Goran Dragic is on it. We already know that Justice is out. So Spo goes into the press conference, and he says that Goran and Kendrick are out. Jimmy's going to play. So then you're allowed to go in the locker room after that, after Spo speaks, basically. And in the locker room, Deion's jersey's out. And I don't always go into the locker room before games, but I just happened to do this one. And I was like, all right, his jersey's out. And then I see one of the Heat assistant coaches. They look across the room and he goes, you ready, skinny? And I'm like, look, turn around. There's Deion waltzing on in, which, by the way, not fat.
No,
you know what it is? He just doesn't wear clothes well. He should walk around shirtless. Better look for him.
He's got a fat face.
Yeah, he does.
It's not a fat face. It's round. Like most basketball players have long heads because they're tall.
Right.
He has a round. I give you another example. Not a good example. Antoine Walker.
Yes.
Always thought. Now he is. So, now. But he has a round head. So, like, slim doesn't go with round head.
So
it just doesn't.
So the coach tells to Deion, it wasn't Spo, one of the assistants, and he goes, you ready, skinny? He goes, my plan? He goes, just stay ready. And so he ends up telling the ball guy to get his tights. Now, apparently, Spo had said after the game that he FaceTimed Deion. But Deion said just to the media, he goes, I wasn't going to believe it till I was in the game.
Of course.
He's like, I wasn't going to believe it.
So wait, he FaceTimes say, could you imagine that?
Yeah.
Yo, D, Coach Spo, you in tonight, dog. Get ready. He say, nah, come on, stop playing. Don't. Hey.
Hey.
He say, D, I say, hey, Spo, don't miss my emotions, man. What? Hey, what? Let's go. Wait, Deion probably had that box of PF Flyers in his closet. I'm going with my Deions tonight.
Ready to roll.
Call all those people. Hey, them Deions are debuting tonight. Dog, you kidding? Nah, dog. Just got the okay. Now, in the back of his mind, he say, man, I hope they're not playing Heat games on me. You know, his emotions.
It was crazy.
Everything had to be crazy.
Yeah, all right, so the coach says that. I'm like, all right. And so I actually texted Zaslow and I say, hey. This was before we knew about the FaceTime thing. I didn't find out about that until I think ESPN broadcast said it. But I said, I texted Zazzle. I said, hey, I'm upping Deion Waiters to 5%. I think I texted you guys too.
Yeah, you suggested he was going to play.
I said 5% he's playing tonight. Because I said zero on Monday. Aged terribly.
Right.
And the last thing that you kind of need to know that he was going to play was, is he going to warm up? Because I'm telling you right now, I've been to I've been to like every but like four Heat games at home this year.
Right.
He doesn't warm up. He doesn't come out for the shooting line. He comes out after the national anthem. Sits on the bench.
Right.
I was like, and the initial guys come out, he's not there. I was like, oh. But then, like 2 seconds later.
Oh, you know he tried.
There he is.
He making a grand entrance. Deion is here.
Yep.
Billy Cheese. Did he come through? He said, hey, get my smoke ready. Yes, I'm playing today. I'm coming through the smoke.
So he gets in the game. Rousing applause for him, which I found super surprising.
Right, man.
Comes in, hitting buckets. Then starts hitting air balls. Then he's tired, starts turning the ball over.
Right.
Then we get to the fourth quarter
because
the Heat are banged up. Jimmy's hurt. Jimmy ain't coming back.
Yeah.
And they're down by a good margin, the Clippers.
The Clippers went on this Kawhi Leonard is incredible. That's another story for another day. Clippers went on an 18-0 run in the third quarter.
Yeah. A Kawhi run.
He was amazing.
And a Lou Williams run,
yeah,
too.
He was amazing. And Deion comes in, and he is single-handedly on both ends saving the Heat. Just crazy threes, and he is, my God, getting into a defensive stance, and he's trying to guard Kawhi Leonard. I'm just like, holy crap, this is where we are. This is where we are right now. And then he gets into a situation at the end of the game. He blocks with Lou Williams. Not once. Twice. Blocks him twice.
The only guy that's
the
same
height
as him.
Yeah, gets the ball. Hits three. I was like, I'm sitting next to Mansell. I'm just like, I was like, what's happening here?
Hey,
what's happening here?
Hey,
I went to
the thing about sports. The thing about sports, the guy you hate the most could do something on his respective field and get on in your emotions because you can't feel the way you felt beforehand.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, James, James Harden's a ball hog. I hate that style of basketball. And then he put up 60.
You know what would have been funny though? What if the Heat would have won? He would have gotten to speak to ESPN.
Ooh.
He would, and like Helwani would have been talking to him.
They would. What?
Yeah, you can't.
They would.
ESPN.
Oh.
What?
They would have put the blocker up. Deion got to get treatment. I said no.
He's right there.
Everybody needs some Philly cheese. Philly cheese back, baby.
We'll give you a chance. We got some cool prizes to give away today. We'll give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up next hour as well, in the 8 o'clock hour. Excuse me. But we got some cool prizes to give away. We are live from Radio Row. We'll get you caught up on your headlines on a tragic day in sports yesterday. Robbie, we'll get you caught up with that coming up next.